starting in 2014, the Obamacare Affordable Care Act will require employers with 50 or more full-time employees to offer coverage, or they will have to pay a penalty. Now, the question that I have is, will this law ever survive? I'm not talking about court challenges. I'm not talking about political challenges. It's just, will the law itself collapse or not? One person who says she wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that happens is Betsy McCoy. Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor of New York, but also someone who is one of the most respected healthcare analysts in the country. She was the one who first brought to the public's attention what was wrong with Hillary Care going back 20 years. She joins me now on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Hello, Betsy. How are you?
Well, good morning. And the real issue is not whether the law collapses. It's preventing you from collapsing. In other words, Americans are already getting whacked, really whacked hard, by the consequences of this law. Even though some of it doesn't roll in until 2014, a lot of it is happening right now. You mentioned employers. Well, many employers are already calling their workers into the office and saying, I'm dropping your insurance coverage come end of the year, or even as early as October. And other employers are knocking their workers down to part-time status to evade the law entirely.
Well, let's go over both of those things in detail, Betsy, because a lot of people are under the impression that they'll be able to stay on their health plan and they'll be able to keep their doctor. But the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare, actually gives employers an incentive and encouragement to drop those workers.
Well, yes, that's true. And in fact, the government's own actuaries showed Congress before the law was ever passed that fewer people would have on-the-job coverage after this law goes into effect than if the law isn't passed. Amazing. Members of Congress voted for this law knowing that it would mean millions and millions of people lose their on-the-job coverage. And here's why. The law says that employers with 50 or more full-time workers have to provide coverage, but not just any coverage. It has to be this one-size-fits-all government-designed essential benefit package that costs about twice as much as what many employers currently offer. So employers are looking at that price tag and saying, I can't afford that. I'm going to drop the coverage and pay the penalty, or I'm going to push my workers down to part-time status, less than 30 hours, so I avoid the law entirely. And that is what is happening right now all across the country.
Now, I should point out that Betsy is referring to the IRS's new estimate for what the least expensive family plan that is federally approved would cost within the next few years. And that cost for two adults and three kids, family of five?
That's right. 20 grand a year. And the most important thing to know is that that plan will only cover 60% of your health bills. So in addition to paying the $20,000 a year before subsidies, you're going to be hit with a lot of co-pays and deductibles when you go to the doctor or the hospital.
Okay, so let's look at how this impacts people, Betsy. Let's start with someone who is now a full-time employee and has just received that meeting in the office.
Right.
We're moving you down to 29 hours. What do
and
they
And no insurance coverage.
What do they do for health care?
Okay. Well, they're going to have two. There's a fork in the road there. If you're a low earner, you get dumped on Medicaid. And dumped is really the right word here because Medicaid is often inferior coverage. Example, research shows that surgery patients on Medicaid are 50% more likely to die after surgery than a patient with private insurance. In fact, they're more likely to die than a patient with no insurance at all. So you want to avoid Medicaid if you possibly can.
Even though it's being expanded now in our state, Betsy, it would now cover one out of three people.
One out of three people would be eligible. It is really not good coverage. So much data show kids with asthma don't see specialists. Adults with heart problems don't get to see their cardiologist, don't have angioplasty. It is not good coverage, so avoid that if you can. So you're going to end up on a state insurance exchange, and every state is going to have one, no matter what the headlines currently say. There will be a state insurance exchange, and you're going to be expected to enroll in the one-size-fits-all government design plan. Going to an exchange is kind of like going to a supermarket that only sells cereal. There's just one thing for sale there. It'll be a DMV, it'll be a website, it'll be an 800 number. However you enroll in that plan, that's what you've got to do, or you may not get your tax refund. That's what's at stake there. If you don't enroll, they withhold your refund.
All right. Now, when you enroll in a health plan on the state-run exchange, which means our state and every other state has to set these up, you...
Or the federal government moves in and does it for the state.
Okay.
Either way, all
Either
50
way.
States will have one, right?
All right. You choose the health care plan you want?
No.
Okay, right. Then
no,
then
there
go
aren't
ahead.
A lot of choices here.
Mm-hmm.
You will see signs, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum,
mm-hmm.
but don't be bamboozled. This is not like Tiffany's. All the essential benefits are the same in these plans. The only difference is the copay and deductible. If you spring
right.
for the platinum plan, you pay more in your premium and you have a smaller copay when you go to the doctor. But that's going to be very, very pricey. The bronze plan has the lowest premium, and then you get hit with higher copays if you happen to go to the doctor.
Okay, now, who pays for this?
Well, part of it is you. You pay depending on your income. There will also be subsidies available for the lowest earners, but it's the government that decides what's affordable for you, and it's the government decides what kind of plan you have to have. It's like going to a car dealer that now is allowed to only sell four-door sedans. No hatchbacks, no convertibles. The assumption is we're not smart enough to choose the kind of plan we want.
Now, let's take it one step further. Again, my guest, Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor of New York State, who is the author of the book Beating Obamacare. That's Beating
Obamacare. And the
Obamacare.
Whole idea of this law,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea of this book is that I read the law so you don't have to. This is a book on how to make your way through the next couple of years avoiding the landmines. I'll give you a couple of examples. Line up your doctors now if you're a baby boomer, because if you wait until you turn 65 and go on Medicare, you will not be able to find a doctor to treat you. Doctors are not going to take on new patients who are on Medicare because Medicare is going to pay less to treat a senior than any other kind of patient. So you got to line up your doctors now. Also, talk to your doctor about keeping two sets of books, because you probably tell your doctor things you wouldn't tell anybody else. I do. And in the future, your doctor is going to have to enter certain things in your electronic medical record. It's going to be part of a nationwide database. Everybody will have a page. And every doctor you go to will see what's already in there. So if you have erectile dysfunction or depression or a drinking problem, your chiropractor is going to see it. And so will thousands of people who have nothing to do with health care. The president announced on January 16th this gun control initiative, and three parts of it are relaxing privacy protections for health law and for health records so that federal agents can see your health records for background checks.
All right, relating to the whole mental health issue?
Well, it's not just going to be mental health. They'll see whatever you have had done to any part of your body.
Okay. Very, very good. Very interesting to see where they're headed on that. Betsy, let me ask you this now. When Obamacare was being sold to the American people, we were told three things. Number one, it will bring the deficit down by bringing health care. Number two, it will bring overall healthcare spending down. And number three, people who already have health insurance would have nothing to worry about. It sounds like you're saying they're 0 for 3.
0 for 3. And it's really key to know that if you have private insurance, if you've got a plan from Aetna or Cigna or Blue Cross Blue Shield, and you paid for it out of your own pocket, the government is still in charge of your care, because Section 1311 of this law says that the Secretary of Health and Human Services can impose any kind of regulations on your doctor and your hospital and your insurance company. So your doctor's got to enter that information about what's being done into that electronic database, and it's going to be monitored for compliance with federal guidelines. And ultimately, your doctor may have to choose between what's best for you and avoiding a government penalty.
Betsy McCoy is the author of Beating Obamacare. Betsy, what do you think about some of these governors, Chris Christie, Governor Scott in Florida, deciding to go ahead and accept the expansion of Medicaid in their states in exchange for the federal government picking up the tab for a few years?
Well, it's venal and short-sighted. You see, for politicians, Medicaid is a verb. It means spend, 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 and then hope that the federal government picks up the tab. And in the past, it's been a partnership. The states could determine the size of Medicaid, the cost, and the federal government would pay half. Now this new red carpet invitation says, oh, we want you to vastly expand Medicaid, and the federal government will pick up the whole tab for the increase. Well, don't be bamboozled by that one. The federal government almost always breaks its promises, and every single deficit reduction plan in Washington includes breaking that promise. They all call for pulling back on that federal guarantee, and that means that state taxpayers are going to face huge increases in the future. Medicaid is already breaking the bank of many states, but huge increases in the future, so much so that a bipartisan commission in Washington warned last year that states won't have enough money left for roads and schools once this promise is broken.
Well, plus there is a federal task force on helping states get their financial houses in order.
That's the one I'm referring to. They warned not to do this.
And this is a bipartisan task force, right, Betsy?
Oh, right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let me ask, 5 years from now, do you think Obamacare will exist?
My prediction is that the American people will be so stunned at the decline in quality in the hospitals, at the difficulty finding a doctor, and at the huge cost of premiums, and the loss of privacy in their doctor's office, that they will insist on a change. But in the meantime, there is a lot of trouble ahead, and you need a guide. That's why I wrote Beating Obamacare. And one of the biggest places for trouble is the hospital. If you're going into the hospital for any reason, brace yourself. You may consider getting a private duty nurse to go with you, because under this law, over half of this law is paid for by cuts to Medicare, and the biggest cuts are to what hospitals are paid to take care of patients. So the chief actuary of Medicare warned Congress that hospitals are going to be in financial crisis. Some will stop taking Medicare, and that leaves seniors, of course, out in the cold, but other hospitals are simply going to lay off nurses, spread the care thinner, and when you push that button for help, you're going to wait a lot longer.
Again, my guest, Betsy McCoy, the author of Beating Obamacare. Betsy, tell us about military TRICARE. How does that relate to the current health care law?
Actually, military TRICARE is affected far less than civilian care or private plans. It's the sequester that the military has to look out for, because, as you know, although the sequester is very small, less than 1% of spending this year is going to be cut, and it's not even a cut, it's just a reduction and an increase. The one place that will be hit under the sequester is the Defense Department, and that includes veteran and TRICARE. But this law, Beating Obamacare, has a very small impact on TRICARE.
Okay. Again, Betsy McCoy has already read and thoroughly analyzed the Affordable Care Act, so you don't have to do those things, but read her book, Beating Obamacare, so you will know how to navigate the changing healthcare landscape in this country. Betsy, thanks very much for being with me here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Well, thank you, and I hope the book is helpful. It's at Amazon.com, and I hope it will help you navigate in the next couple of years. It's going to be perilous.
Amazon.com, one of our local companies here. Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks very much.
Nice to join you. You're so well informed.
I appreciate you being here, Betsy. That's Betsy McCoy. We're back with more right after this. Then there's the issue of the deficits being spiked by Obamacare. Yes, I know. We were told that the Affordable Care Act would bring the deficit down. But Senator Jefferson Sessions from Alabama brings us the brand new numbers just in from the nonpartisan government auditing office called the General Accounting Office, the GAO.
At the signing ceremony for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the president claimed that his law would, quote, lower costs for families and for businesses and for the federal government. The president went on to say, quote, it is paid for. It is fiscally responsible. But the GAO's investigation reveals these claims to be false. According to GAO, under a realistic set of assumptions, the health care law will increase the deficit by 0.7% of GDP, or roughly $6.2 trillion over the next 75 years. $6.2 trillion unfunded liability of the United States. In other words, the GAO reveals that the big tax increases in the bill come nowhere close to covering the even more massive spending. Again, $6.2 trillion is only a fraction of what the bill will spend, but that number is how much new deficit spending, including excluding interest costs, will result despite trillions in new taxes. The big government crowd in Washington manipulated the numbers in order to get the financial score they wanted, in order to get their bill passed, and to increase power and influence.
All right. That, again, just out this week. That it will cost an average, mind you, of $80 billion a year in extra deficit financing. Let's do a quick rewind. Remember last fall, Illinois Dr. Barbara Beller made waves with her concerns about Obamacare.
So let me get this straight. This is a long sentence. We're going to be gifted with a health care plan we are forced to purchase and fined if we don't, which purportedly covers at least 10 million more people without adding a single new doctor, but provides for 16,000 new IRS agents, written by a committee whose chairman says he doesn't understand it, passed by a Congress that didn't read it but exempted themselves from it, and signed by a president who smokes with funding. With funding administered by a Treasury chief who didn't pay his taxes, for which we will be taxed for 4 years before any benefits take effect by a government which has already bankrupted Social Security and Medicare, all to be overseen by a Surgeon General who is obese and... financed by a country that's broke. So what the blank could possibly go wrong?
I love that lady. Unfortunately, she lost her election. That was in Illinois.